Four Worlds, written by Niraj Sikki, read by Opal Song. Fandom Mo Dao Zushi, or The Untamed. Rating Teen. Relationship Jiang Yun Li, Meng Yao. Summary: Four Worlds in which Jing Guangyao married Jiang Yun Li. One. Yunping was a bit out of the way for the Jiang sect, but it was still a city in Yunmeng. So when there was a large enough night hunt in their region, that was where the Jiang sect usually stayed. It was always an event for the city's children, that loved to run over to marvel at all those beautiful purple-clad cultivators walking through the streets. They usually didn't fly within city limits, much to the disappointment of all. Meng Yao loved watching them most of all. After all, his mother told him that his father had been a cultivator, even a sect leader. One day he would return to claim him, or perhaps Meng Yao would need to go present himself to him. But one day, she promised him, one day, he'd have his father's name and no one would look down on him again. That promise was everything to him. And yet, that wasn't what really drew him over to the Jiang sect. No, what he went for was all Jiang Yun Li. The girl he'd bumped into by accident, then shown around at her request. He'd shyly told her about his father being a cultivator, and she'd looked so happy for him. She'd even promised to bring him a proper introductory cultivation manual the next time she came, so that his mother could stop spending all her money on fakes. He hadn't really expected her to remember to actually do it, but she had. She'd confided in him that she'd met her future fiancé for the first time, that he was young and spoiled and didn't seem to like her much, but that her mother wanted the marriage, and saying no now would be a slap in the face of the Jin sect. Jin? Meng Yao had said, dazzled. Oh, that's the sect my father's from. If you have to marry someone from there, why don't you marry me instead? Two. Everyone had expected the young lady from the Jiang sect to have taken refuge with the Jin sect. After all, the engagement between her and the heir might be broken, but Madame Jin had still been her mother's good friend. It would be comfortable with them, and safe, although people would whisper about it. Perhaps that's why she didn't go there. Meng Yao found himself unwillingly sympathetic. Who knew better than he how much whispers could corrode the soul? Who knew better the idea of being faced with the disappointment of Lan Leng and decided instead to turn to Qinghe, where merit was prized over blood? The iron-hearted Nie Mingjue agreed to allow Jiang Yun Li to stay in the Nie camp, only if she agreed to work. But she was willing, even eager, to lend a hand to the war effort, whether by helping nurse the sick, mend clothing, or help in the kitchens. One day, she brought him soup. Sect leader Nie has already retired, he said, blinking down at it. She laughed. It's for you. Sect leader Nie speaks so highly of his hard-working deputy. It would be a shame if you collapsed from hunger because you were too busy working and forgot to eat. No girl had ever made anything for Meng Yao before. Mistress Jiang, he said, staring down at it. Is this... I'm not the right son, you know. If I wanted to make soup for young Master Jin, I'd be in Lanling, she pointed out, eyes curving with a smile. This has nothing to do with that. He'd almost hoped it was. It would spare him the need to say the other part of it. I don't know if you haven't heard, he said. And if he didn't know better, he might almost think it could be the case. Jiang Yanli was not the type to gossip. But my background, I wouldn't want the taint to spread to you. The circumstances of your birth were not your fault and should not taint you, she said gently. And she meant it, too. He'd always been good at reading expressions. It's just soup, Deputy Meng. Don't think too much about it. Eat it and regain your strength. She brought him one every night from that point on. Sect leader Nie, Meng Yao said one night, sometime later, bold in his desperation. If I were to propose marriage to Mistress Jiang, would you back me? Nie Mingtui's eyes widened.
I thought you were going to wait until you were re-established in the Jin sect for that, he replied,
which wasn't a no, and that's what Meng Yao cared about right now. Sect leader Jin would never allow a bastard son to have something that should have gone to his legitimate heir, even if his heir has already discarded it, Meng Yao said. He wouldn't even allow for sharing, and Meng Yao had had the bruises from falling down the stairs to prove it. The only way it would work is if there was already an agreement in place before I go to Langya. Sect leader, please
don't beg,
Nie Mingtui said hastily.
I will. Did I ever say I wouldn't? You're a good man, Meng Yao. I can see no reason for you not to petition for her hand. If the lady agrees, I'll speak to Jiang Cheng on your behalf.
I won't let you down, Meng Yao swore. And for the first time since he came to Qinghe, he meant it. Three. Meng Yao was good at remembering names and faces, but he had grown up far away from the cultivation world. He was always behind the others in etiquette, having to learn everything all at once, when even Jin Zixun, who didn't care about anyone, could recognize most of his peers on sight. So when he asked the kitchen girl at Langya her name, and she looked surprised, he resigned himself to another embarrassing incident and having to apologize for not knowing what everyone else did. Instead, she laughed lightly. "Why don't you call me Ali?" she said with a smile. "And I'll call you A Yao, and we'll be friends." "I can always use friends," Meng Yao said and smiled back. He expected it to be little more than a joke, but she seemed to take it seriously. She spoke warmly to him whenever he came to the kitchens, and in the rare times they were both free, she would come find him, and they would spend time wherever there was a refuge from people. "People gossip about me rather a lot," she confessed when he asked her why. "I had an engagement to someone in the Jin sect, and it was rather publicly broken, and when I came here anyway, it was very nice to meet someone who didn't know about all that." Meng Yao could understand that very well. She knew who he was, of course, but she pretended she didn't, and that suited him very well. And so they became friends, anonymously, right up until Jin Zixuan humiliated Ali in front of the entire camp, accusing her of stealing another girl's credit, and she ran away in tears. It would have been impossible for him to pretend he didn't know she was the young mistress of the Jiang sect after that. "He's an idiot," he told her, voice unusually fierce, having found her in their usual spot. Even Qin Su, who liked his face, treated him with a touch of pity for his poor background. Jiang Yan Li, who was of even higher birth, had never done so, not once. Perhaps the unlikelihood of that was why he had managed to stay ignorant of her identity for so long. One day he'll know it, too.
I don't want him to, she said, wiping her eyes. I didn't even mean it like that. It was only that our mothers were friends, so I thought... I don't know what I thought.
It doesn't matter, Meng Yao said. He hadn't planned on telling anyone his plans, not even Ali. But after a scene like that... I'm leaving the camp tomorrow, with a plan to earn fame and merit enough to force my father to recognize me. It's risky, and I may not survive. But if I do, would you marry me? We could rub it in his face. Jiang Yan Li smiled at him.
Meng Yao, I would marry you even without that.
She thought about it a minute.
I'm not saying it wouldn't feel nice, though.
Meng Yao laughed. Four. Jing Guangyao wasn't expecting the knock on his door. Jiang Yan Li was still wearing mourning clothing, all in white. With her pale face, she looked like a ghost, and only the rosy-cheeked baby in her arms indicated that she was alive. Sister-in-law, he said, not quite sure if a smile was appropriate at this moment.
It's late. How can I help you?
You want to be sect leader, don't you? She said, direct and to the point. And the pleasant expression on his face stiffened.
Don't deny it. I won't hold it against you. You weren't the one who killed him. All you did was tell him about the situation, which even I would have done.
Why do you ask? He replied, still unwilling to commit himself.
Because I don't have much else to offer, Jiang Yan Li said simply. Your father is gathering up cultivators to go to the Nightless City, where he'll demand Asian's life, and never mind that it was just a horrible accident. I don't want that to happen, but no one will listen to me. But you've never needed anyone to listen to you to get what you want out of them.
Jing Guangyao hadn't known that Jiang Yan Li was so perceptive. If he had, he might have been more cautious around her.
You want me to find a way to save your Shirdi's life? He said slowly.
Even after he killed your husband and turned the vast majority of the cultivation world against him, and in return you're offering what?
Legitimacy, she said. You're the obvious next heir at the moment, yes, but sect leader Jin has dozens of children outside. He need only go and get one to put your inheritance in doubt. But if you marry me, even sect leader Jin won't be able to resist the pressure of making you the heir.
He stared at her.
I'm engaged.
I don't object to you taking Qin Su as a concubine, she said. Sect leader Jin will be open to the idea if you're the heir. But as a matter of dignity, I would insist that you refrain from intimacy before marriage during the time that you're engaged to me. I know the two of you have been considering forcing your parents' hands that way, but it would leave me with no face at all if you persisted with that approach.
Yes, Jiang Yan Li was far more perceptive than he'd previously believed. Marriage to her would be interesting.
Very well, he said. I accept. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!